Hi there, my name is Hussein Patwa and I'm from Aberdeen. And I've been involved with RNIB in different roles since 2011.
Hi, my name is Ross. I live in West Yorkshire and I've been involved with RNIB as a volunteer for about a year now.
Hi, my name is Kim Jay. I am a volunteer for RNIB Northwest and I've been a volunteer for a year now.
Okay, guys, well, let's talk about the work that you do. And I want to start by asking you all why you think it's important that RNIB include customers, blind and partially sighted people, in its everyday work.
I think for a long time now, RNIB has put itself forward as being a member-led organisation to be informed by blind and partially sighted people, the people whom it supports and champions the rights and wishes of. And I think, therefore, it's vital that the very people this organisation is there to be informed by and supported are fully involved at all stages in the work of the organisation and, as a result, the output that comes from that. And I think to do anything but would be a disservice to the very people that are really pushing RNIB to do such good work.
Okay, Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, those ideas there are really embedded within RNIB's core values. I mean, being led by blind and partially sighted people, involving them in everything that they do and being inclusive and working together. So, you know, involving customers is a way of honouring those values that RNIB prides themselves on.
And Kim, what do you think about that? Why is it important that RNIB involves customers in our work?
I think the customers, because we are visually impaired and we live with it, we have this immense wealth of experience and knowledge which can be used and can only enhance what RNIB does.
Hussein, let me ask you, what benefits are there that you found working alongside staff? And maybe on a wider point, why did you get involved in the first place?
RNIB has done a lot for me in the past, especially when I was younger, education-wise, and supporting me to get where I am. And I therefore felt it was only right to somehow try and pay back the good that has been given to me, and by doing that to contribute what I know, my expertise as a blind and partially sighted person in shaping what RNIB does. And I think just also to be part of an organization that has done some really good things for not only blind and partially sighted people, but also for educating society as a whole in what visual impairment mean, but equally, more importantly, what visual impaired people are able to do and to combat some of the stereotypes that are out there. What's the benefit of working with staff? I think that's twofold. Firstly, as Kim just said, we are the experts in visual impairment. And although I think there are a lot more staff now that are visually impaired than there were beforehand, I think we bring our expertise to complement the work that they do, to advise them, and also I think to be a critical friend. You know, mistakes do happen, and sometimes I think you can get so involved in what you're doing internally that you forget the people that you're there to support. And I think we stand in a good position to be able to just give some guidance and give some advice to staff along with the other activities that we do as volunteers. And I'm hoping that staff would feel a similar benefit from working with us, that they can use us as a sounding board to make sure that RNIB is doing what it aspires to do.
Is that your view, Kim, that you think that it makes the difference because, as Hussein says, we are the experts. We are the people who live visual impairment, blindness every single day. So our experience does have an impact on us and actually can have a positive impact on staff and the work that the organisation does.
I totally agree with that. I think we have a wealth of experience. Being visually impaired doesn't mean that you're kind of isolated and you're incapable of doing nothing. We're capable of doing everything that anybody else can do. And to be able to work alongside with the staff, it only sort of reinforces the idea that being visually impaired doesn't mean that you have to be marginalised or you have to sit isolated in a room, which is why I became a volunteer, because that's what I was isolated. Now, I not only work with some amazing people, but I also help to change and educate others about being visually impaired.
Yeah, I'd agree with that 100%. I mean, drawing on my own personal experience, I was similar to what Kim just mentioned there. I was quite isolated from the blind and partially sighted community about over a year ago. And I made a decision that I wanted to get more involved and meet new people and make friends and just learn new things. And, you know, volunteering with RNIB and getting involved with staff and meeting other volunteers, it's been a great way for me to get back involved with the community and, you know, do things that I never thought I'd have done before. And as far as working with staff is concerned, it, as the other two have mentioned, you know, each staff can learn from volunteers and volunteers can learn from staff. It's a very good working relationship. And I know me personally, I've learned a lot of things from the staff since I've been a volunteer, and it's only been a year, so I imagine there's lots more to come.
I think, you know, the two stories we've heard there have really highlighted the positive impact of involvement has on individual people. Certainly here in Scotland, isolation and loneliness is seen as a key concern for not only the government, but many charities as well. And, you know, we brought people in that would otherwise, you know, not be able to make their lives as fulfilling and as involved and joined up with the community as it could be. And we've seen two examples there of where, you know, people's lives have been turned around by being involved, not only with the local community, but other blind and partially sighted people. And speaking for myself, it's been a big learning curve, and I've learned things that I would never have been able to learn before. Everything from leisure activities that I could take part in, to some technical skills, to learning about from other people's experiences that we're not alone. And I think that's a key pillar of trying to bring people in that are alone and don't have access to opportunities, perhaps because of where they live in a rural area, perhaps because they've lost their sight very suddenly and they're in a bad place. And we're bringing these people and we're maximizing the ability people have to live fulfilling lives.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Even if it's something just as simple as being a part of a Facebook group for your local area, even those little things, just seeing a post about what might be going on in a neighbouring town or city, it just all helps you feel like you're being part of a community, even those little things.
I totally agree. For me, the biggest difference in my life is that the feeling that I am now productive, I am part of a community, I have these skills which are not sitting at home being dormant, but are now being utilised. And that has just boosted my confidence no end.
Yeah, and just another thing to add to that, the diversity of the number of people that are involved is quite incredible, really. I mean, I'm 22, and I imagined, I didn't think I'd find many people that would be a similar age to me. I don't know why I felt that way, but since I've become a volunteer for RNIB, I've, you know, found my way into a group of young people that meet each month in Leeds. And, you know, I've had conversations with people of all sorts of ages, from all sorts of backgrounds, and it just brings a lot of experience together and makes a good collaborative team, really.
I mean, it's clear from what all of you are saying that you've all got a heck of a lot out of being part of RNIB, that's for sure. Can I ask you, Kim, and I'll come to all of you on this, but Kim, if I can start with you, can you give me one particular project or one particular area that you've perhaps worked in with RNIB that perhaps stands out for you in your mind as something you're really pleased you got involved in and kind of cements that position that you have as a volunteer and your worth in the organisation?
Yes, as you all know, RNIB was 150 in October, and I suggested that we do a celebration of that. And I put forward an idea to have an award ceremony at a 5-star hotel. I was hesitant when I sort of mentioned it because I thought, oh, they're not going to agree to this. This is too big a thing. But the staff were amazing. My line manager was utterly amazing. And she said, go ahead and do it. And that's what I did, together with a fabulous subcommittee with a lot of skill. We organised the event, we advertised, we went on radio stations, we put it all together, and it was an amazing day, and I'm really, really proud of that. But more importantly, I talked to everyone that was nominated, and hearing their stories was just, I mean, it was mind-blowing to think that there are people out there that are fighting to make a difference and ignoring their impairment and leading such a vital and vibrant, productive life. And yes, I'm really proud of that, and I'm proud of the subcommittee that I was on and the staff that worked with me.
I mean, that's an incredible story, and, you know, I mean, something which has real impact, real meaning, and something that, you know, you were able to sort of really get amongst and be part of, which sounds brilliant. Hussein, what would you say your example of that is?
So, as people may know, RNIB now have a customer involvement advisory group, which is a group of customers which will become involved in some of the projects that RNIB does. But I think aside from just the projects themselves, what stands out is that we're now engaging with project managers and staff at higher levels within the organization. These are staff that I don't know if they would or would not have had engagement with customers in the past, but now we're talking to them. We're hopefully allowing them to understand the challenges that we have and the needs that we have, but also hopefully what they will gain from being engaged with us is the ability to make their projects more customer focused. Some of the things that I'm particularly concerned about was the language that we use. In the past, I think language has been far too corporate and institutional, and I was concerned that this was turning people off and making things hard to understand. People may not understand what RNIB is, what it's doing, and why, you know, why anyone should be engaged with it. And it always struck me that we're trying to help individual people here, so we should speak plain English and talk people's language. And as an extension from that, we all know that there are more people now that have visual impairment and additional disabilities and challenges. And I've always thought, for example, that the language that is used, both in terms of the documents that RNIB produce and the way in which it markets itself, doesn't really make it accessible for those, for example, with dyslexia or other learning disabilities. But now, by looking at the material that's being produced, by working with project managers, looking at what they're creating and output, and suggesting changes that are now being incorporated into everything, from things like the induction pack to the materials on the website, this is making RNIB even more accessible to more people. And that can only be a good thing. And not only for blind and partially sighted people, but their carers and relatives, often who may or may not have an in-depth understanding of visual impairment and are perhaps the people that need to know how RNIB will support their family and friends.
So simplifying the language, making the organisation more friendly and understandable to people out there, another amazing achievement, Hussein. Ross, what about you? What's the one thing that stands out for you in your involvement with the organisation?
Well, there's been a lot of things that I've taken part in over the last year, but just to demonstrate how current all these opportunities are, I'm going to mention the one that's most recent that I've only just started, really. A lot of people will know that RNIB now is the Connect Voices group, where people can learn about different opportunities. And through the Connect Voices group, there was an opportunity posted where a chap from a university was looking for people to participate in some research for a pair of glasses he was trying to build for people with visual impairment. And he wanted people to fill out a questionnaire for him and potentially take part in interviews over the phone to try and help him develop this piece of AI that he hopes in the future will help change the lives of blind and partially sighted people everywhere. In this particular project, it could be something that I could take part in for months down the line. So, you know, all these things that we talk about, whether it's a big or little project, some of them can take an awful lot of time, and you can get a lot of fulfillment from it, feeling that you are contributing towards the future and making the lives of people better through participating in this kind of research.
Let's talk about the experience of being part of and involved with RNIB in the way that you three are. What do you think the differences are? Kim, and I'll come to you first on this. What do you think the differences are between being a customer in the sense of someone who uses the services, maybe gets talking books, perhaps maybe turns up at a local event? What's the difference between doing that, do you think, and what you guys are doing, which sounds like it's a lot more in-depth?
It's a huge difference. When you're a customer, you almost feel as if you don't have a voice. You can see the problems that are there, you can see the challenges, but you just feel as if there's nothing you can do about it. Now, getting involved, it takes that away. You can change things. You can make a difference. You can sit there and say, well, hold on, you're doing this wrong. Can we input this instead? And that's why it is so important that the visually impaired work alongside RNIB, and it's such a great partnership.
Yeah, if I could just come in on that, Stephen, if I may. I was going to say that whether you are just a customer or a volunteer like we all are, you know, volunteers like us, I guess, part of the reason we do the work that we do is to hopefully inspire more customers to become volunteers and take part in all the wonderful things that we've done. Like you said, even if you are just a customer that receives talking books and other kinds of support like that, I would hope that they still feel very involved, but at the same time, I would hope that maybe listening to something like this would maybe push more people to get involved and join the community and learn things, do new things and meet lots of great people.
I think for me, it's about the relationship that you have with the employed staff and volunteers that RNIB have internally. As a customer, it's a service relationship. The organization is doing something for you and you're obtaining something as a result. With what we're doing, it's more of a friendship. We're far more strongly engaged and involved. As I said before, we can be a critical friend. We can make comments and suggestions in the knowledge that they will be actively listened to and taken on board. And I think even more importantly, if those suggestions aren't taken on board, we are given a frank and honest reason as to why. And I think as a customer, sometimes when something goes wrong and it can't be fixed, you know, you often just accept that and you don't really feel that you're empowered to take it further and to try and drive change. And I think the driving change is the real outcome of the involvement that we have. And as I say, just knowing that that is frank, that it's honest, and that we're doing something, and that gives you an awful lot of satisfaction at the end of the day when you've done something that you know will make a positive change for everyone else.
I completely agree with everything he says. There's nothing much more to add from my end on that bit.
Yeah, I totally agree. And for me, sort of the staff, the RNIB staff, have almost become family. They're the people that I go when I have a problem, when I struggle to do something. For instance, my laptop, I had some new software and I just could not get a handle on it. And I just rang them up and said, I've got this problem and it's right, come into the office and we'll help you sort it out. You become part of the family.
I think also one point that I think is important to address, and people who have volunteered for other organisations have sometimes said that it can feel like an unpaid job. Sometimes folk have felt that, I wouldn't go as far as to say they're being taken advantage of, but that there's a lot of work that's being shifted onto volunteers because they're unpaid and they're there to take it up. That couldn't be farther from the truth with RNIB. You know, yes, sometimes things can be quite fast-paced, things can be turned around very quickly, but you always feel that, you know, the help and the support that you offer is being gratefully accepted. And it doesn't feel like you're just being used. as, you know, another dog's body, if you'll pardon the pun. It's a very friendly relationship, and it's a very fruitful and satisfying relationship as well.
Yeah, I've never ever felt pressured or forced into taking up any kind of job, big or small, with RNIB. It's very flexible. You can pick and choose which projects you take up if you want to take them up. And yeah, as Hussein says, it doesn't feel like an unpaid job. I definitely feel like an appreciated volunteer.
Let's talk a bit more about Connect Voices, if we can. Ross, you mentioned this project earlier. Hussein, what is your experience of Connect Voices, and what do you think the benefits are for the community at large?
I think the benefits for the community are that this is something which is easy to engage with. It's completely flexible. You can dip in and out as you wish. Connect Voices is an online group that's based on Facebook, and it can be accessed on a variety of devices. It's relatively accessible, even if you're not the best person at using the web. And it allows staff and people who are involved in the group to post information about projects, or to have discussions and to reply to comments, including posting links to any documents or websites. The group, it is a secure group, so you know, you can be sure that only the people that are involved with RNIB and the projects will be seeing what you post. And I think it's something that you can use when you wish. If you just wish to browse and see what people are talking about, that's fine. If you wish to post responses and comments, that's fine. And as Ross has said, opportunities are posted and you can take them up as and when you wish. It's not for everyone. You know, let's not make any bones of it. Not everyone enjoys just web only. But I think for people who especially can't get out very often, or live in rural areas where transport is an issue, it's a great way of keeping in touch with what's going on. And the people on the group are not just volunteers and customers, but very often quite senior members of staff as well. So you really feel that you're having a voice directly to the source.
Kim, can I ask you, how would you encourage others to get involved, and why?
For me, it's that feeling of not being on my own anymore. I am part of this big organisation. I am part of a wider community. And even if you're sitting at home on the Facebook page, on the web, there are so many people out there that have experiences that I can learn from, and that I can pass my experiences on. And it changes your life. It makes your life better having all this knowledge at your fingertips. That's why it's so important, I think, that everybody should at least try to see if they should get involved and experience this wider community.
Ross, do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, as Hussein said, there are very frequently opportunities posted, and on Connect Voices, every couple of weeks, there's quick polls, which, as the name suggests, it just takes a few minutes out of your day at most. And they are polls created by RNIB to help to get the opinions and the input from the customers to try and shape what the organisation is doing in the future. And, all this is accessible by Connect Voices. If you've got a mobile phone, there is an application, Workplace, which is pretty much like Facebook, that you can use to access Connect Voices. You can get it in your browser, and you can even access information about Connect Voices from the RNIB info line as well, for those people that really don't do technology, which I know there are a lot of people out there that don't.
I think something that, and it maybe sounds a bit fluffy, but as some may know, I have a chronic pain condition. So sometimes you can have really bad days when you just want to be left alone, you don't feel like doing anything, and suddenly an email pops into your inbox from Connect Voices. And it could be just a funny comment from somebody wishing you a happy weekend, or somebody suggesting something you could be involved in, or even just asking for ideas on what RNIB should do, and it sometimes kind of acts as a pick-me-up, and you suddenly feel that the day is not quite as bad as it was, and that there's somebody out there that cares, even if they're not contacting you directly. I'll often find myself logging on to Workplace and having a browse, and before you know it, quite a lot of time has passed, and you've used up a good part of the afternoon.
If you want to get involved with the RNIB, why not get in touch with the involvement team? You can email involvement@rnib.org.uk or call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999.